Well, I'm a preacher, but I'm also a singer, and I have a great appreciation for singing, and we've heard some great songs tonight. Amen?
Amen.
I am not always in a place where I hear a lot of enthusiastic congregational singing like that. Don't ever take that for granted in your worship. Amen? That so blessed me. And choir, God is good in the valley. Amen? Oh, man, that ministered to me. My dad just came through about an 8-year battle with dementia. And he passed away on May 20th. And when we made him the promise that he was not going to go in a nursing home, I had no idea that was going to be going 8 years. And the logistics that needed to be in place to make that happen. And for sake of time, I'm not going to tell you a bunch of stories, but there were many. God just helped me get through this night. Amen. Just tonight. And then less than two weeks after he passed, my brother-in-law passed of heart problems. He had heart problems since he was 30. They'd done about everything they could for him, and they were trying to get him ready for a transplant, but he never made it, died on the table. They were in Indiana. My dad was in Alabama, so trying to physically be there for two sets of families when you got two people going down. Why am I just shotgun sharing all those things with you? Because God is good in the valley. Amen. I just needed to hear that tonight, brother. I don't know who else needed to hear that. But in this season that we're in right now and what we have been through, that just really spoke to me. And just caused me to think of so many things that God did during that time and is continuing to do. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2 tonight. Acts chapter 2. Before we get into the message, I just want to mention a word about our table that is out there. We have an email newsletter that we send out. Several of you are on that, but it's been a while since I've been here, and maybe you'd like to get it. If you aren't getting it, we just need you to print. Are you hearing me? Please print your name and your email address, and we'll add you to it. Now, if you'd rather receive things snail mail still in your life, we can make that happen. We just need your name and your address. We'll send it to you that way. Not only do you hear news of what God is doing that particular month, but Angie handles these. She writes these beautifully. It's almost like having a devotional each month come your way and bless you. And I really would like for you to pick our current one up tonight on our table. There's a fellow's testimony in here that was gloriously saved in one of our meetings. In fact, when he was a cameraman. He was running the camera for Facebook when I was preaching that morning. And I preached the message I'm about to preach to you. And it was just amazing what God did in his life. And he tells the whole story in that newsletter. I also want to mention there is a recording that we are featuring right now called Timeless Hymns and Classics. And boy, if you like the old stuff, we got the Old Rugged Cross, Great is Thy Faithfulness, My Savior's Love, You'll Never Walk Alone, A Thing Called Love, Alpha and Omega, Country Hymn Medley, even Midnight Cries on that one. So I hope you go by and take a look at that. I know a lot of the newer vehicles are not playing CDs, so we started offering the flash drives. You still got the USB port, right? So we got the flash drives that you can plug in there and turn your radio on. Playlist comes up. You can still listen to the music as you go down the road. So I hope those things would appeal to you. But you really want to sign up for that newsletter, because there's a lot of great testimonies about what God is doing. He is still in the life-changing, soul-saving. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I mean, all over the world. You can look at the news. You can look at everything that's happening and get real depressed about it. But it's got to get worse before it can get better. Amen? And I'd much rather be part of the solution than the problem. And so we're going to talk about that a bit tonight. I do have my lovely wife with me tonight. Angie, would you stand, please? We've been married 39 years. And I guarantee I would not be doing what I've been doing as long as I've been doing it if I didn't have a faithful helpmate like that. Unbelievable. And as a special treat tonight, my mother-in-law's with us also, Marietta Ferguson. I want her to stand as well right there. Yep. That's a godly lady sitting right there and a real soul winner. I'm thankful for my family. God just blessed me. And raising a gal like Angie, I owe her a lot. So I'm just very thankful. Worth Baptist Church. I came here while I was in college, and the things that I learned and the people that I met, folks that I learned to knock doors with, and when I was so green, learned the early application of evangelism. I was telling somebody before the service, I'm sure glad the Lord didn't lay the whole load on me early on, because I'd probably been too scared to take the next step. But little by little, God grew me. And to look at some of the older faces and the new generation coming through, I'm so glad that God continues to grow Worth Baptist Church and continues to add to your number and continues to give you ways to help people. Amen? And to share the gospel with, because there's more than one way to do it. Amen? I think some of our churches are finally waking up to that fact. But go with me to Acts chapter 2, and we'll get started tonight. This message is very, very simple, but I believe it's very profound. And it's one of the clearest passages that I've ever seen when it comes to the area of repentance. And I want to preach a message tonight entitled Genuine Repentance. Genuine Repentance. How many of you, just be honest with me, in your desire to see people saved, and I trust you have a desire to see people saved, and you talk with folks and you share the gospel, Romans Road, however you do it, have you ever come across people that have said, well, I tried that. I tried that. I'm glad it worked for you. Well, it just didn't work for me. I tried that. How many of you in your personal witnessing experience have come across somebody with that testimony? I tried that, right? I tried that. In my own ministry, whether it be on the foreign field or over here, and you preach the gospel message, same Holy Spirit, He's working. Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, right? Somebody hears that. They respond to it. They pray. They humble themselves before God. And it's the real deal. They show back up. They realize, you know, I need to get a Bible. I need to see what's in that thing. It's God's word. I didn't know that before. Maybe they're fortunate enough to have some people pour into their life and help them develop and gain that assurance. Maybe even later God calls them into the ministry. And maybe generationally it changes their family. You've seen that kind of thing, right? At the same time, same message. People hear it. Somebody comes forward. Goes through all the same motions, does, you know, checks off all the boxes, and you never see them again. You experience that? Amen? What's the difference? Why does this happen? Well, I'm going to try to explain that tonight in a couple of ways. as we go to this text in Acts chapter 2, and we pick it up in verse 37, when the scripture says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I love the book of Acts, don't you? What a tremendous book of the Bible. What a tremendous bridge of the gospel to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. And God moved in such a mighty way in his early church through his Spirit, through his Word. And the result was lives were changed. And I want to look for a moment at what this life change looks like when God had moved. Because when God moves through his Word, people begin to get right with God. And the defining mark of that can be expressed in two words tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Genuine repentance. Genuine repentance. Verse 37 says, when they heard this. The word heard there is very important. It means to understand, to comprehend. Perhaps the strongest definition there, to hear with attention. To hear with attention. For the first time, this large congregation of people, they heard the gospel. They heard the word of God through the Spirit of God, through the word of God. They heard it, okay? They really heard the gospel. Now, I'm going to ask a question that would seem a little odd in this type of preaching you hear around here on a regular basis. What is the gospel? We see the gospel is that great redemptive message of God that you and I have sinned against a holy God. He created us for fellowship and relationship with himself. But you and I sinned against God. And because of our sin against God, Romans 5:12, I'm sure you know the verses. As by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. So then death passed upon all men and women. For all of sin, that's how it came, right? So we lost that ability to have a relationship with God. But God loved us so much that he didn't leave us separate from him. God sent his son, Jesus, to this world to die upon a cross and to rise again from the dead. Why? So that you and I could rise again from the dead. So you and I could be forgiven of our sin and have a relationship with God restored that we lost because of that fall. In fact, I already mentioned the one verse in Romans 5, but you skip down to verse 19. Scripture tells us, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You know these verses. I'm just kind of reviewing it for you. We could go to some other verses, some other passages, but you get that tonight, right? That's the gospel. That is the gospel. That's the message of the gospel. We have sinned against a holy God, but God loved us and made a way for us to be forgiven of our sin. And the Bible says, when they heard that, really heard that, they were pricked. Other versions would say pierced in their heart. That's an important word. The word pierce there is in the passive voice, meaning they didn't pierce their own heart. The Holy Spirit of God took the Word of God and he pierced their heart. It's a word that means to be stabbed. It's sudden, it's unexpected. That's why, you know, when I'm talking to some people about their salvation experience and they kind of look at me with a blank expression, and it's like they're going back in time. Saying, oh, I think maybe, some time ago, oh, that might have happened. I'm thinking, if somebody stabbed you, don't you think you'd remember that? It's funny. I'm telling you, if you witness to many people at all, it's you have to laugh to keep from crying sometimes. Amen? They heard the gospel. And all at once the Spirit of God pierced their hearts, and they knew that they were guilty before God and they needed to be forgiven. So they looked at the apostles and said, what do we do? And the response was one word: repent. Are you hearing me tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Listen to me. This is a very important statement. It's all just information without the piercing. Are you hearing me? We need to get this on our hearts, because we waste a lot of time trying to use everything else. When it is, no man can come to God except the Holy Spirit draw him. That's what makes all the difference. I've heard the gospel. I've been pierced by the gospel. What do? I repent. Now, the word repent is an interesting word. If you take it literally, it simply means to change the mind. It's a compound word that comes from the root word of the mind, to change the mind. It's regret and sorrow accompanied by a true change of heart toward God. In short, repentance is our response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He convicts our heart, our response is repentance. We understanding that so far? Charles Haddon Spurgeon said it this way: repentance is a discovery of the evil of sin, a mourning that we have committed it, a resolution to forsake it. It is, in fact, a change of mind of a very deep and practical character, which makes the man love what he once hated and hate what he once loved. I like that. Repentance. I mean, it's not a word we hear very often in the contemporary church of America, and I'm not necessarily talking about style. I just mean all of us right here and right now. And I believe perhaps that's why we've seen so little movement of God in the contemporary church in America. It's because there hasn't been much of an emphasis on that. In fact, they get it backwards. They don't hear. They're not pierced. There is no repentance. But they leave saying, well, I've had a great time. Enjoyed the donuts. Man, your praise band was awesome. You guys got a lot better smoke machine than the last church I attended. And I never heard those two jokes today. Woo! That's pretty funny. Here's what we understand from Acts chapter 2. When God moves, there's genuine repentance, and there's a change that takes place on the inside in response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And if people just leave talking about this, that, and the other, about what they enjoyed about the service, we have failed. Are you hearing me? Everybody that does a special, everybody plays a piano, everybody sings in the choir, we ought to be praying that somebody's going to get pierced by that. Amen? Not just think how great we are. So there's a change that takes place on the inside in response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. In response to hearing the Word of God, I'm convicted, I'm pricked, I'm pierced, and my response is to repent. Now, repentance has two identifying marks, and I want to share them with you tonight. The first one is this: confession. Confession. Where there is genuine repentance, there's first confession. Again, a lot of you are more familiar with Romans Road. That's why I throw a lot of those in there. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God that raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's all in there, right? Confession. Confession. What does confession mean? To confess means to agree with God about my sin. When under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, I'm repenting, and the first step is to say, God, you are right, and I am wrong. It's not about justifying it. It's not about explaining it. It's not about covering it up. Step one in repentance is confession. Simply coming clean before God and saying out loud, yep, God, you are right, I am wrong. You've shown me in your word. I have read it clearly. It happens at the moment of salvation. You're right and I'm wrong. Clyde Cranfield put it this way. have a couple quotes from him tonight. Confession is simply coming clean with God and ourselves about our sin. It is dragging that sin out into the light and getting real, not only about our sin, but also about ourselves. The word confess in the Bible is a Greek word that is a compound word. It's made up of two words that mean this. Homologio. The first word means the same. Second word means to say or to speak. So when you put them together, the word confess means to say the same thing. To say the same thing about my sin that God does. Now, before we go any further, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me tonight. Let's be clear. Genuine repentance is not a work. It is an attitude. Are you hearing me? It's not a work. It's an attitude. We know salvation is by grace, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? And we're not talking about sinless perfection. That's a work. But repentance, the attitude of repentance, is a requirement in order for us to be saved. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. So I confess that out loud confession. However, a lot of people think that's all repentance is confession. In fact, there's entire denominations that are built on just confessing and declaring certain things. But listen to me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. There's clearly a second aspect of repentance. Not just confession, but look at this word here, turning. Turning. Confession by itself is not repentance. It's confession and turning. Turning is a surrendering to a new way of living in Christ. This is so important for us to get tonight. You see, confession without turning is not repentance. It's simply regret. And that's all it is. And this is what is described in 1 John 2 and verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. Are you hearing me? Well, what was the missing factor? They heard it, right? But you got to have the right attitude, amen? And come into Christ. You don't come on your terms, you come on His. The reason I'm taking time to go through this, in fact, I don't can remember last time I ever heard a message just on this topic. But the reason I'm taking this much time on this topic is I believe we will see more fruit that's lasting if we get this in our church culture, if we get this in our thinking as we witness to people, and even in our preaching. Amen? I believe it will help us to have fruit that lasts. Confession. God, you're right, I'm wrong. Turning. A yielding of control of my life to the Holy Spirit. I'm now turning from my sin to a new way of living in Christ. I'm understanding I can't do that on my own. But I'm turning from my sin to a new way of living in Christ. Again, Clyde Cranford. Give you this quote. Real repentance is a permanent turning with ongoing results. It is a turning not only from what we've done, but who we are. Siding with God not only against our sin, but against ourselves. God, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm leaving my side. I'm getting on your side. I'm not only turning against my sin, I'm turning against myself. The things that I desire, the things that I'm not yielding. I need to yield. I need to repent. I need to have that attitude when I come to you, because the Holy Spirit has pricked me and pierced me about doing that. Amen? It's not about making me happy. It's not about making the pastor happy. It's not about getting somebody off your back because you've asked them 20 times. Are you hearing me? So repentance is required in being saved. What must we do? Peter says, repent for the forgiveness of sins. That really should not be a surprise that Peter said this. Go to Luke 24 with me, would you? Y'all getting anything out of this today? Amen. I hope that you are. This is what God laid on my heart. It's kind of different. But Luke 24, you know, this is the end. I mean, he's laying it out with his disciples. He's tying up loose ends. These are some of the last words he's given them. And what is he saying to them? We pick it up in verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He's bringing it up with these guys that are in the early church going out to preach the gospel. And what is he saying to them? Don't forget repentance. Amen? He's wanting that to stick with them. That's just as much the part of the gospel presentation as the other things that we obviously need to have in there. Amen? Here's another key that I want you to put in your notes if you're a note taker. You cannot turn to Jesus without turning from sin. You cannot turn to Jesus without turning from sin. Several years ago, the country group Rascal Flatts had a pretty popular song about a country song being sung backwards. You remember that? You get your dog back, you get your job back, you get your health back, you get your wife back. I think a lot of people, when considering what they're going to do with this gospel, that's how they look at it. Hey, maybe if I say that prayer, everybody's trying to get me to say, hey, things will go better in my life. I've tried everything else, I might as well try that. You see what a dead end it is, amen? And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not chasing rabbits. There's a significant number of people in our churches, that's their experience. They've got all this baggage right now that if they could get the truth that we're talking about tonight to infiltrate, it would set them free. It would set them free. And that's what happened. That's why I wanted you to read that newsletter. That's what happened to that guy. It's amazing what the truth can do when you give it priority, when you give it time to be heard. So salvation is not just some fire insurance so I won't have to go to hell when I die. Salvation is about Jesus becoming the Lord and Savior of my life. I'm turning from my sin to Jesus, and by faith I'm embracing him. I'm agreeing with God in out loud confession, and I'm turning to Jesus Christ. Now, does that make me perfect? No, that's not what that means. Does that mean, I guess I'll never have to deal with sin anymore? No, that's not what that means. It just means that at the moment of salvation, I have to have an understanding. God, you are right and I am wrong. And in order to be saved, I agree with God. I confess my sin out loud. By faith, I embrace who Jesus is. I turn from my sin, and I receive the forgiveness and deliverance from God. Why is that so important? Why am I taking time to hammer away at these? There's so many scriptures we could go to. One you may not think of, however, because it's considered more of a Christmas text, is in Matthew 1:21, when the angel makes the announcement and says, you're going to name him Jesus. Remember that? You remember the rest of it? Because he's going to save his people from their sins. Now, we'll read it, and we think we got it, but here's what we're thinking. He's going to forgive his people of their sins. But that's not what it says. Talking about true repentance, friend. It's easy to get the mind foggy. Because I don't know how many people I've talked to. Well, I'm just a good old boy. Never meaning so. Everybody messes up, but God forgives. I mess up, God forgives. Well, that's true. The message of the angel, however, is the reason you're going to name him Jesus is he's coming as a deliverer. Not from the oppressors of Rome, but he's coming as a deliverer who's going to save his people from their sins so that sin no longer has to be your master, and everything the Romans 6 tells us is true. Amen? You connect the dots? This is really throughout the scripture. Well, I hope you're getting this tonight. It's that important. Because repentance is real. And if we are preaching a gospel that does not demand repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, we are not preaching the gospel of the Bible. We are preaching another gospel. God forbid that we would do that. We turn from our sin, we embrace Jesus. Which leads me to a very important question for you tonight. Have you ever repented of your sins and received God's forgiveness? You see, Jesus isn't going to lose anything. You're reading John 6, verses 37 and 39. Jesus said, all those you gave to me, I'm not going to lose any of them. Right. Amen? I'm not going to lose any of them. That's why it's so important to come the right way. His way. Because if you come his way with the word of God, Holy Spirit convicting you, you're just laying it out. My God, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm turning from my way, going your way. You're going to see a lot more people following through than disappearing. Amen. Let me share a few more things and we'll be done. This happens in different ways, but I've seen it illustrated. One of our overseas trips, a team from Texas was going. I won't tell you where we were going because you're on Facebook, so some people don't like what we're doing. But I remember telling the people, the sending church, about how to pray when we go. And I talked about passages like that. And I said, I want you to pray that as the gospel goes out in these schools, these villages, everywhere else, that they will be pierced. I want what happened in Acts chapter 2 to happen over there. One of the first nights in our tour, we were in a college town. I wasn't preaching. One of the other members was preaching. But before he even got done, three college girls stood up and said, what do I do? What do I do? I mean, the conviction was just so strong in that place. And pretty soon the Spirit, I mean, it's just spreading. All these college kids were coming down here. I want to tell you something, friend. When there are more people coming than you got decision cards for, oh, ye little faith. I'll tell you. Another setting, big church, so many people getting saved that night. We usually give them a prayer of assurance. But that night, one of the guys said, you know what? You folks know what happened to you here tonight? And through an interpreter, he said, you don't need to hear us. We need to hear you. You just thank God in your own tongue tonight for what he just did in your life. I wish I had the video with me. Those people just started praising. And in their own language, I mean, the Spirit was all over them about the new birth. And God, the real deal, real repentance is what it looks like. Amen? Amen. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. You go back, they're still there. Amen. They're bringing their friends. Churches are being established. Sometimes it happens in more subtle ways. I remember being in Frederick, Oklahoma, in a church revival. And there was a fellow there by the name of Ray Watson, 79 years old at the time. a great guy. Couldn't do enough for us. Tried to help us out as we were setting up. There every night. Christian, seemed like a Christian man. Certainly looked the part. And but I was up on, long story shorter, I was up on stage one night singing the simple hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. And all of a sudden, old Ray just started losing it. By the time I got out, he was just weeping uncontrollably. We kind of wondered, was he hurt? Was he sick? Or what's going on? He came to my table that night. He said, Brother Allen, I've been in this church for years. I've been in just about every position you could possibly be in. I know a lot about the Bible. But when you were singing that song, I realized that's the one thing I did not have. Isn't that a beautiful thing when there's a piercing? Amen. I would so much rather have a piercing than somebody just say something to get me off their back so I can make another check in my book about how many we won tonight on door-to-door visitation. Are you hearing me? Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Well, my time's up. I just want to say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. When they heard that, they were pierced. I think we need to pray in the outreaches of Worth Baptist Church, from the pulpit of Worth Baptist Church, in the classrooms of Worth Baptist Church, in the witness of Worth Baptist Church members, amen? At the gym, on the ball team, out in the mall, praying for opportunities, being aware, God, help me to know when it's time, when it's time, when it's time. If you pray consistently, I believe he'll tell you when it's time. And I believe there'll be a piercing, and I believe there'll be some people ready. And it's a beautiful thing when God does it his way. Amen? Amen. And I believe that that's why he's blessed our ministry like he has. And now our 42nd year in evangelism. Because there's been a whole lot of piercing going on, and a whole lot of true repentance going on. And I love it when pastors say, you know, Brother Allen, one of the reasons we have you, you can still find the people who got saved. They're still here. You hear testimony time and some kid will stand up and I thank God for my Christian home. And you think back a few years ago when Grandpa was a drunk. There was no Christian home. There was no heritage. But God used us to come in with the gospel and the Holy Spirit pierced and people changed and it affected their family, the family after that, and now you got generational believers filling up a church building when there was no heritage, but there is now. There is now. I want to tell you, friend, there's really nothing better than that when you stand before God one of these days. That knowing that God brought true repentance, genuine repentance into people's lives. Let's do it that way. Amen? Amen. Let's do it that way. May God bless the preaching of his word.